The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, just at 41 Cross Street, just above the fabulous Alto Forno Restaurant. Hope you've been there. They got their new summer menu in place right now, so go check that out. Our office has been at 41 Cross Street. We're approaching our one-year anniversary. A couple more months to go, and we'll be there for a year. Getting used to the new summer weather in the new office. We are wrapped by windows, and when that summer weather comes along and the sun comes bolting in, gets a little warm up there, but we got the air conditioning under control, hopefully soon, and we'll be all good. So I can't believe I've been here doing this like 5 years here at the radio station. We've been in business for 50 years, but I've been here at the station a little bit more than 5 years, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And we do that each and every Sunday here from 8 to 9 a.m. right here in the treetop studios of North Shore 104.9, overlooking the beautiful North Beverly train station, where it looks like people are taking a break from going into town today because that parking lot's pretty well empty. Hope you're enjoying the weekends. This is the weather's getting better, isn't it? You get to go to the beach. You can have some lobster. Hey, has anybody noticed that lobster prices seem to be a little bit higher than normal this year? Hopefully they'll come down as they get closer to July and August. We did have lobsters for Father's Day last Sunday, and that was terrific. I was surprised at how much they cost, even at Market Basket. But usually those prices come down, but that was okay. It was a nice special treat. It was fabulous to have lobsters. But what do we do here each and every Sunday? We are here to provide you, as I said, with financial advice in a language you can understand. And we do this by trying to pull back the curtain a little bit, giving you some exposure and understanding of what financial planning and investment advice is all about. Look, you've talked to a lot of people, many of them who frankly talk down to you. They talk to you about all sorts of things that you don't feel smart enough to be able to handle. And I will tell you this, folks, don't fall for the trick. Investing is not difficult. Investing is not difficult. You know what's difficult is having the patience, the wherewithal, and the courage to hold tight when things get emotional. Think about this. How difficult is it to stay on a diet? How difficult is it to quit smoking? How difficult is it to do anything? How difficult is it to learn how to dive or any of these things? We get all excited about doing it, and then we say, nah. We get started on the diet. We get started on the exercise thing. We get motivated for a little while, and then we stop because something distracts us. One of the things that a financial planner will help you do is remain focused when the distractions become present. I also say that it's what a financial planner does is they keep you rational during emotional times. And frankly, it doesn't come as a surprise that history suggests that people that choose to do investing on their own, who are actually willing to subject themselves to understanding what their overall performance has been on their portfolio, will find that their average performance is far worse than what the markets have ever done. They're far worse than what the average investment advisor helps a client produce. And they are almost worse than what inflation has been. The average investor over the past 20 years has an average rate of return of about 2.7%. That's around where inflation is, 2.5, 2.8, something like that. But markets on average, we hear the terms the markets have done 9 to 10%. I beg to differ with that. In fact, we looked at some numbers in our show last week that talked about what the average portfolios have done, and it's more like 6 to 8 is what they really average around. But those are people that are willing to hold tight, that are willing to be strategic and not tactical. Look, there's lots of different types of new investment ideas that pop up, whether they're these crazy cryptocurrencies, whether they are, they could be the electronic vehicles of the future. Take Tesla, for instance. Take space travel. Take all sorts of medical research that's out there. Everybody thinks they have found the magic elixir, that product, that item that will ultimately take them to the promised land. Folks, that is not likely to happen. You're as likely to have that happen as you are to land a contract with a professional baseball team. We all think we've got the goods. I mean, think about how many of your friends and kids that you're probably looking at right now that said, oh my God, did you see how that kid pitched at the high school championships this week? He's going to the big leagues. Even the kids that have the skills to go to the big leagues ultimately either wear out, they lose that it factor, or they simply find that they just aren't as good as everybody else that's out there. There's all sorts of new products and new ideas and a lot of people with a lot of hype that get you excited about why you should invest in this or that or whatever it might be. I'm going to tell you, folks, if you want to play that game, do it in very small increments and do it recognizing that you could lose everything. Here's a perfect example of this. And I'll use myself as an example. Several months ago, I told you about how I made an investment in a Broadway show. The Broadway show was called Escape to Margaritaville. It was a story in a musical written by Jimmy Buffett. And I thought this was just right after the hurricanes in Key West. Jimmy Buffett had written this great musical. All the songs were based on Jimmy Buffett music. And a friend of mine reached out to me and said, hey, Mark, how'd you like to go in with me and we could be investors, small investors, in the Escape to Margarita musical? I'd never done anything like this before. And I had heard that if you want to invest in musicals, it's either win big or lose big. And I thought, well, this sounds pretty interesting. It's music everybody knows. The Parrothead culture is huge. There's going to have to be a great level of interest to see Escape to Margaritaville at the Marquis Theater, at the Marriott Marquis in Times Square of New York. And so I made an investment in doing that. The Escape to Margaritaville musical opened the second week of March. And I went to the opening, got to meet Jimmy Buffett. It was a great experience for me, and it was a full sold-out crowd for opening night. But just 2 weeks ago, we learned that Escape to Margaritaville will close on June 30th and doesn't even complete its planned first-run commitment because there wasn't enough interest in seeing the show. So that is something where a lot of people, the people that were so behind it, and some people put up millions and millions of dollars. I didn't put anything near that kind of money up. But chances are I will walk away with nothing in return for my investment. That happens later. But when you get all excited about it, it's like walking into a marriage. You're all excited. Oh, I don't need to sign this prenup. Everything's perfect. Everything's great. We love each other so much. And then time passes, and the magic seems to diminish. The energy around what crafted everything to make it so perfect starts to lose its luster. And perhaps you head off into an area that gets difficult, and you move towards divorce. And then you wish you had that prenup. Folks, I'm using these as examples to tell you that when it's time to make a decision about making an investment in your life, an investment with your money, an investment in anything, you need to be realistic. And oftentimes it is very difficult to when you're so impassioned about what it is you're about to do. As financial planners, as a certified financial planner, my job is to be rational during emotional times. My job is to sometimes play devil's advocate, even though it's not the conversation you want to hear. I can't tell you how many times we've come back and, you know, clients have come back to us and said, geez, you know, I really wish I had listened to some of the stuff that you said you knew would already happen. Things like whether it makes sense to go in on buying a summer home with the siblings or buying mom and dad out of their house with all of the siblings and then figure out, oh, how are we going to split up the bills? Who's going to clean up the place? There's a lot more to think about than that absolute magical little luster and glimmer that's out there that says, ooh, this sounds like a good idea. And that, frankly, is why when we're buying investments for our clients, I don't recommend individual stocks. I don't recommend individual securities. Instead, we recommend what are called packaged products, a mutual fund, an index fund, an exchange-traded fund. Why do we do that? Well, why we do it is quite simple. Because I look at it this way. Let's say you liked Tesla. Let's say Tesla is a stock that you're all excited about. If you were to go out and buy Tesla at $300-something a share, how many shares would you really buy? 100? That's $30,000, by the way. Would you go ahead and buy that? 100 shares at $30,000. Imagine this. Do you think the person, a mutual fund manager that runs a mutual fund, who's likely to buy 3 million shares of Tesla, knows a little bit more about what's going to go on at the company than you, who has a gut feel about buying 100 shares? I think so. In fact, I know so. There's very few things I know, but I do know that people that are willing to buy 3 million shares of Tesla versus the guy that's willing to buy 100 shares has more information than you have about whether it's a smart investment, especially when that portfolio manager is responsible for more than 100,000 shareholders who are part of that mutual fund. Understand what a mutual fund is. A mutual fund is a collection of stocks, or a collection, I should say, of securities. But a stock mutual fund is a collection of stocks. We've all heard of the S&P 500. The S&P 500 is made up of 500 of the largest stocks that trade on the exchange. Now, does a mutual fund have to have 500 stocks? Nope. A mutual fund could say, I want to focus exclusively on dividend-paying stocks that plant their business primarily here in the United States. Okay, there's probably a bunch of those. You could screen that right down. And then you could say, I want to buy dividend-paying stocks that have their business in the United States that have a market cap. The size of their company is more than $100 billion. You could screen that down and find who those are. Now that you get that whole group, do you say, okay, do I want to buy all of them or do I want to buy some of them? Do I want to buy all of those in equal proportions? Do I want to buy them in intervals, in varying amounts? A portfolio manager and his team work hard to figure out what's best. What they're trying to do is accomplish the objective that you want, the objective that you're trying to achieve. And many people, most people, have more than one mutual fund. Maybe you have 8, 12, 4, whatever the number is, depending upon the amount of money, might be the reason why you select a certain number of different types of investments. Each carry their own risk. Each can carry their own reward. But one of the things that you want to be careful about is making sure that you're buying a collection in your portfolio that is going to perform differently than the other. Because if all of your investments performed the exact same way when the market's going up or the market's going down, you're actually creating more risk to your portfolio. Think about this. When you're out on a boat, and we're here in New England, you're out on a boat, is it better to look out at the horizon or keep your eyes on the waves as you look outside the boat? Now, it's sometimes fun to kind of watch the waves and see if you can see some fish or something swimming by. But if you want to feel better, if you don't want your stomach to start gurgling and rolling all around inside, you look out towards the horizon. The more you choose to invest in similar types of investments, or the more you choose to invest in a single investment, the greater you will be focusing on the waves than you will be on the horizon. And if you're preparing yourself to get your financial planning in order, to get your financial house in order, we need to structure a strategy that keeps you focused on the horizon. When we get back, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how we do it at Friedman Financial, give you some insight behind the curtain, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right above the Alto Forno Restaurant on 41 Cross Street. We are up on the second floor. If you ever swing by, if you're driving up towards the North Shore Mall, wave to us. We're at the white building. You'll see our sign up there. My back actually sits up against one of the windows that's overlooking the street. And we are now overlooking some changes going on at the North Shore Mall as well. It looks like Sears has got their going out of business sale signs. That's closing up pretty quickly. The Sears Auto Center has paper on the windows. That's a Tesla dealership going in there. I think it's called Anytime Fitness. It's going to go in over where the Sears building is. They're going to knock it down. I can't wait to watch the implosion of the eyesore that is Sears over at North Shore Mall, because what they're going to build is going to be magnificent. These Anytime Fitness buildings are, it's unbelievable what they built. So I'm looking forward to seeing that all happen. New restaurants popping up over at North Shore Mall as well. Bancroft is now open. You've got Cafe Nero that is now open over there. Tony C's is open. One of the things that they have over at the, they call this the promenade area now. The area between the Bancroft and almost all the way out to Legal Seafood is, it's an area that they call promenade. There's some seats and chairs and some green grass that they put. I don't know if it's real. It might be fake. But they also put out a stage. And the stage that they're doing is every Friday and Saturday, like from 5 to 8, there's live bands and live entertainment. And you can go out there, hang out, sit out. I mean, if you go to Cafe Nero, go to Tony C's, they have an outdoor patio. You can sit there, listen to live music. It's very family-friendly, lots of things to do. I'd swing over there. And if you happen to be by, I mean, take a look up. You'll see my office, too, so I can say hi to you. I might even swing by. And MAME over at the North Shore Music Theater closed this past week. I think it had a nice run. We got more shows coming. I think Peter Pan is the next show that's coming through there. Lots of great things going over at the Music Theater. If you're ever in that area, we're a sponsor of the Broadway Club. So if you happen to swing by there, certainly fill out one of our cards and enter a drawing. We have these great prizes that people can win each year with the musical. But if you happen to see me over at the Broadway Club, I usually have a few free drink tickets in my pocket. So happy to indulge you with a drink. So, you know, when we last left, we were talking about why people that work with financial advisors, certainly certified financial planners, tend to have better long-term outcomes of their financial future rather than doing it themselves. And the reason, for the most part, isn't that I'm any smarter than you are. The fact is that I'm willing to be emotionally removed from your portfolio. And we oftentimes make emotional mistakes, not just with our investments, but with a lot of things that we do. I mean, how many times have you been angry about something and thought, oh my God, this was the worst thing that ever happened to me? And then 3 days later, you realize, oh, look, a butterfly. And it doesn't even seem to be in the back mirror at all. It's just moved on. What we're willing to do and what we're able to do as financial planners is look at your financial situation without all of the weight that sits on your shoulder. We look at it rationally, and then we try to weave in some of the real important stuff. I mean, you've heard the expression that says, don't sweat the small stuff. You've heard this. Like, I'll tell you this story, actually. I wasn't planning on doing this, but it just popped into my head. Maybe you've heard this story. It's a story about a professor who stands up in front of his class. It's a, I think he's a geology professor. Room has about 600 students in the auditorium. Pulls out a table, and on the table is this glass jar. Big glass, one of those giant pickle jars. You've seen them before. And he then lifts up a crate, and inside this crate are some rocks, about fist-size rocks. And he takes each of the rocks and he starts sticking them into the glass jar gently so that the glass jar doesn't break, of course. Drops them in there and he says, raise your hand when the jar is full. Well, eventually he gets to a point where a little piece of that fist-sized rock is now sticking out of the opening of the jar and there's no way any more of those rocks can get in there. He then reaches down again and he pulls out a bag that is full of small pebbles. And he starts to sprinkle the pebbles into the big glass jar. You see them just dropping in between all of the open spaces, between all of the big rocks. And he says, when it's full, raise your hand. And sure enough, as the pebbles start to fall over the outside of the jar, the pebbles fall out and they say, okay, this is full. But you all know where this is going. He then pulls out a jar that has sand in it. And he sprinkles the beach sand into the jar until it once again has filled in every crevice, every crack that it can find, until it overflows. And he holds up that jar, and he says to the group, what's the moral of this story? They go, the moral of the story? I didn't know there was going to be a punchline to this thing. What is the moral of the story? And the moral of the story is, in order to fill that jar properly, you got to take care of the big things first. Could have you done that? Could have you filled the jar the same way had you gone backwards? Imagine you poured just the sand in first, then the pebbles, and tried to get the big rocks in. The problem is in life, in our financial life, in our personal life, we focus so much on the tiny little grains of sand. Oh my God. My eyelashes don't look right today. Have you seen my hair? Oh my God, this outfit doesn't match. Or what am I going to do? I'm 10 minutes late for an appointment. Those are the little things. Those are those grains of sand. What's the big stuff? What's the big stuff in your life? The big stuff is what's important most to you. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your health. What are the little things? What are the medium-sized things? Well, maybe it's vacations. Maybe it's making sure that your kids, that you work hard as a parent to make sure that your kids are doing well. Maybe it's making sure that you have a stable job and you be able to help out the family. We got to make sure that we take care of the big things first. And when it comes to investing, investing when you do it on your own is like the little grains of sand. We don't spend that. We agonize over it, but we really don't understand as much as we should because we have to focus more on the big. We know the bigger stuff is more important. As financial advisors, we will take that part of your financial life and elevate it to a level so we're all talking about making it the big stuff, the important stuff in your life. That's what it's all about. It's about making it important. So when you look at a firm like ours, like Friedman Financial, people will ask, well, what's so different about Friedman Financial? Why is Friedman Financial the way it is? It's quite simply, we know that after 50 years, we care deeply. And that is the message that we get from many of our clients that we've seen. As fiduciaries, placing your interests first is the cornerstone to our relationship. And we've done it this way for more than 50 years. From our very first conversation with you, you'll find us asking about everything in your financial life, not just the money you may want to invest. That's because achieving your financial goals requires an open and honest dialogue that incorporates more than just the numbers. It includes the emotions that are attached to them too. Think about that. When you've sat down and thought about your financial planning relationship, when you've gone over to see a financial advisor, has the first question been, what kind of money do you have to invest? What's your goal for this money? Folks, those aren't relationships. Those are transactions. What's the goal for this money? You need to be thinking bigger. The advisor needs to be thinking bigger. The first question that any advisor should be asking you is, tell me a little bit about yourself and tell me about your overall financial situation. When you ask the question, when you make the statement of tell me about, that advisor is willing to make a statement and he leaves it open-ended enough, he or she leaves it open-ended enough for you to be able to respond. instead of asking the question, how much money do you have to invest? Or do you want to save for your retirement? These are simple, what are called closed-end questions. They're simple one- or two-word answers from you. A good financial planner will know how to ask questions that allow you to tell your story. And each one of us has a good story. Many people have asked me, Mark, do I have enough money for to retire? Am I making enough money? And one of the things that you need to understand is, what does your lifestyle look like to suggest whether you have enough money or make enough money? What do you like to do? Look, I was in Michigan a couple weeks ago. I was talking to some financial advisors that worked for a bank. They're trying to put an investment management program out in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So I first thought I'd go around to try to get a sense as to what is the lifestyle of these investment people that are working in the bank. What do they want to do? What does their life look like? So I said, look, as we go around the room, tell me a little bit about, tell me your name and tell me what your plans are for the summer. So I want you to think about that question. Imagine I'm asking you this question. What's your name? And tell me about what your plans are for the summer. And what I found out was the people sitting around the table all had something very similar in their answers. When I went around, they said, well, this summer I look forward to doing some gardening around the house, cutting the lawn, hanging out on my deck, having a barbecue, maybe going fishing. Now, is that the kind of vacations and plans that you were thinking about for the summer? I know it wasn't what I was thinking about, but what I began to realize is that that lifestyle does not cost a lot of money, does it? When I asked about going out to eat, do you go to any fancy restaurants? Or oh, everything's, I want people at the house. We fill the refrigerator up with beer. We light the grill. We go fishing. Maybe we'll go hunting. There was that. Maybe I'll go out on my boat. And that was real. It was very simple. No travel plans, no big excursions, no big family adventures, none of that stuff. Now, that's not to say what they were doing was wrong or right or anything like that. But you've got to understand that group of people, for what they want to do, that doesn't require a $10,000 a month lifestyle, does it? Maybe it requires a $3,000 or $4,000 a month lifestyle. Is one wrong or one better than the other? Absolutely not. It's what you've grown accustomed to doing. Some people can't imagine not going out for dinner every night in the summer. Basically saying, I don't cook. We go out. So when you think about what's the right amount of money to have, what's the right income to have? Oh my God, I need to have $1 million before I retire. Why? Some people will need four. Some people will be very happy with $500,000 or even $300,000 as long as they get their Social Security check. Everything is different. If you work for the state, think about this. If you work for the state or you work for the federal government and you're entitled to a pension and you have a choice of getting $40,000 a year or $1 million rolled over into an IRA, which do you take? Which do you take? Well, as a federal employee or state employee, generally, you don't have that option. They're going to give you the $40,000. As a private citizen, you're going to get $1 million. Which one is better? I don't know about which one's better, but I know one thing is for certain. The $40,000 check is guaranteed. Is guaranteed. The $1 million check is what you would need if you wanted to create a $40,000 income stream for the rest of your life. So your choice. Understand that just because someone has a lot of money in their IRA or a lot of money in their investment account, if you have a pension income, perhaps it's equal, if not more, than what, worth more than what they already have. Lots of things to think about. We're going to dig a little bit further. We're going to pull back the curtain a little bit more here at Friedman Financial because we're going to provide you with some financial advice in a language you can understand. If you like what you're hearing here on the radio, give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We're happy to schedule a free initial consultation for you. And of course, if you'd like to sign up for our free weekly newsletter that comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning, it's called Planning Pointers. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I don't have one thing on my mind. I do it for the love. I don't have.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and expertise to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2018 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, a financial planning firm that's been around for 50 years right here in the Peabody, North Shore, Merrimack Valley area. We've been serving clients. 450 households we serve right now. And we've been doing it for a long time. It's 1968. Dad started the firm back then. My father retired in 2007. I joined the firm in 1991. So this is my 27th year. I have a business partner who you've heard here on the radio before. Her name is Marion Gilman. Marion's doing great, by the way. And people have asked, yes, Marion donated a kidney last week. Yep, Marion donated a kidney last week. And she is doing really, really well. She's back to the office on Monday. Everything is great. But pretty remarkable what this woman did. And very proud of her. And very humbled by what she did, too. So, yeah, she's doing great. A lot of people ask, so I figured I'd share that information. Hopefully we'll have her on the radio here in the next week or two back here joining us. But she's back to work doing her own thing, doing stuff. Well, we work together, Marion and I. It's not my clients. It's not Marion's clients. It's our clients. That's how we approach that. You know, one of the things that a lot of people ask, I get a lot of phone calls from listeners here on the radio show. They go to my website, which is friedmanfinancial.com, Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. You know that. They'll call my office, and then they'll say, give me a sense as to what I should expect from a first initial consultation, a first meeting. A lot of people don't know, you know, am I going to be sold? What's Mark going to be pushing this time? Because when they've gone to visit with other financial advisors, perhaps you've taken advantage of that free initial consultation if you go to one of those free dinners or those seminars or whatever. And you almost feel obligated that you have to buy something because the guy bought you dinner. You need to know what to expect when you're walking into my office. And I thought I'd give you a little bit of overview about what happens and why you should never feel intimidated when you schedule that appointment, because you will be asked to sign nothing. You will not be asked to make any decisions. Our meeting is essentially a conversation. That's all it is. I get to know you. You get to know us. And what you need to know is that everything that we do is supported in writing. So we have this little packet that I'm excited that we've put this together about a month and a half ago, and we're sending it out to anybody who'd like it. Rather than sending out our big fancy kit, it's a little bit of a PowerPoint presentation that we'll just email directly to you that talks about what you should expect from Friedman Financial. What are the various stages? What does it all cost? All that kind of stuff. And I got to tell you, after 50 years, I believe that our approach is pretty well time-tested. You know, 50 years have gone by. Yeah, we've tweaked it along the way, but folks, it works. But what you can expect more than anything else from our office is a conversation. We get to know you and you'll learn about us. It's important that you feel really good about the relationship first without having any pressure. Now, understand this. There are no limits to the questions that you can ask. We are fully transparent. That means I'm going to tell you anything you want to know. You want to know how much this costs, how we get paid. You want to know anything, I'm going to tell you. And we're going to seek to deliver, as you well know, financial advice in a language you can understand. That is my goal. When you walk out of that first meeting, you're going to say, you know what? Whether I like this guy or not, at least I know that they provided me with some financial advice in a language I can understand. But be sure you also know this. I'm going to ask you questions too. And some may be questions that you've never been asked before. Our goal is a fiduciary, that means to place your interests first, is to be certain that we fully understand what's important to you, to your financial life, and how it aligns with your hopes and your dreams. And we do that before we ever offer any recommendations to you. Offering recommendations first seems somewhat backwards, especially if you want to be a fiduciary. You know, we've all heard this term, fiduciary, put the interest of clients first. Well, I look at it this way. If you're working with a financial professional, and you've placed an investment with them, and they don't know everything about your financial situation, how did they actually act as a fiduciary? How could they? How could they place your interest first if there's not clarity around where everything is and what everything is worth? And that is why, before we ever get started, before we ever have you invest a single dollar, we're going to do some financial planning. Maybe it's a full-blown financial plan. Maybe it's some simple stuff. But it always, always starts with the development of your net worth. Because no matter where you are in your financial journey, we know you need a tailored plan that aligns with your goals. Now, whether you're planning for retirement, whether it's accumulating wealth, crafting a retirement income strategy, or simply trying to make sense of it all, we're going to be with you every step of the way. We'll provide it to you in writing. We'll provide it to you online. We'll provide it to you through a phone call, email, however you want it, because we're going to listen. And the financial planning process, as you know, as at least what I believe, starts with a face-to-face meeting, not something over the phone, not something that's over the internet, not some artificial intelligence. It's got to be face-to-face. It has to be honest, and it has to be a big picture conversation. I want to learn about your strengths, your concerns, your opportunities, and of course your goals. And sometimes you don't know what those goals are. And sometimes we have to help you pull those things out to really crystallize them so you can begin to see what that picture of that goal really looks like. And once we know that, that's when we start to plan. We'll never rely on rules of thumb. That is the worst approach you can take. I see so many people call our office that say, well, Mark, I can only take 4% of my account out, right? Because that's what the 4% rule is. Or I'm going to double my money in how many years because I've used this thing called the rule of 72. Or maybe I should have 80% in bonds and 20% in stocks because I'm 80 years old and I was told that you put the number of your age into the number of into the percentage of bonds you allocate. That is all false. Rules of thumb were thrown out the window a long, long, long time ago, yet they still seem to weave their way back into the daily dialogue of what we talk about when it comes to money. But more than anything else, we will plan for you. We will give you advice, but you're going to walk away with my advice in writing. In writing. So that you have an action plan. You have the steps and the direction to know what you need to do. That's what financial planning is all about. You know, we built this graphic a while back, and it's a graphic that I can certainly provide to you. We have this little handout piece that we've put together. I can electronically send it to you if you'd like. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. At the bottom, if you sign up for my newsletter, you can put in the little box, send me the financial planning introduction kit, or you can certainly call the office too. Our office number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. There's this sheet that we put together. It's called Getting Your Financial House in Order. And what it does is it shows a puzzle of a house. And imagine the puzzle pieces collectively make the shape of a house. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different categories within this puzzle. The 8 categories are as follows. And when you're working with a firm like ours, all of these 8 categories will be addressed all of the time. Not just on the first meeting, but they're going to be reviewed every time when we get together. Number one, we're going to take a snapshot of your short and your long-term goals. Now, long-term goals can be nice. I want to retire. I want to travel. What are some of the short-term goals? Maybe you got to pay for a wedding that's coming up. Maybe some of those expenses of replacing the roof on your house or knowing that you have to do some work around the house. Those are short-term goals. How are you going to pay for them? Are you planning on pulling them out of your investment account? That probably wouldn't be the smartest thing to do. Because what if the market drops on the day before you need to start taking money out to pay for the roof? So we want to be sure that we're clear on what your short-term goals are and your long-term goals are. Number two is we're going to build your net worth statement. And we've talked about this before. We want you to know where you stand financially. What do you own? Less, what do you owe? I think you'll be surprised that many, many, many people listening to this show, if you really looked at your net worth, that means everything you own, less everything you owe, you may be a millionaire. Think about that. You may be a millionaire. Think about what's the house worth right now? What do you think your house is worth? What other things do you own? Maybe it's your 401k. Maybe it's an investment account. Maybe it's money in the bank. Maybe it's cash value of a life insurance policy. Maybe it's an annuity. Maybe it's a second home that you have. And then what do you owe? Maybe you owe a mortgage. Maybe you owe an equity loan. Maybe you owe a car payment, a student loan, or a credit card. You add all that stuff up. I think you may be surprised that your overall net worth, when you look at it all, could be over $1 million. But I assure you like this, you do not feel like a millionaire, do you? So what is $1 million these days? Is it a lot? Is it a little? It all depends on how you want to spend your money. And that's the next part in our piece, is what's called cash flow. You need to know what you earn and how you spend it. Now, I'm not talking about whether you get Green Giant string beans or you go to Trader Joe's or Whole Foods to get your organic green beans. I'm talking about generally what comes into the household every single month and what goes out every month. Now, many people have a consistent source of income. You're on a salary. Others who work on commission or may get paid in intervals don't have such a consistency in income. You got to be able to plan for that, plan appropriately for it. And then, of course, is this whole new tax thing. We got a whole new tax program now, don't we? Are you prepared for it? Do you understand it? In fact, if you got my newsletter this past week, we shared a brand new calculator to help you try to figure out what your tax liability will be this year. If you want to get that calculator, you could certainly sign up for my newsletter and then ask us to send you last week's issue, of course. I can also send you a link just right to that calculator. All you need to do is go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put your name in, your email address, and write in the little comment section what you'd like, and we'll get it off to you. Or feel free to call the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. So the first four things in getting your financial house in order: setting the goals, both short and long term. Number two, getting your financial house in order of building a net worth statement. What do you own less what do you owe? Now, that's all nice, what you own less what you owe. But then what do you have coming in and what do you have going out? That's your income. Maybe it's work income, of course, employment income. Maybe it's Social Security. Maybe it's dividends. Maybe you got a special slush fund, a trust account, or grandma funds you with money, whatever it is. And then you got money going out. You got expenses. What are those expenses? And the fourth part is taxes. Do you have the right withholdings being done on your tax return? When you did your taxes last year, did you get a big refund or did you pay a lot? And do you understand why you did that? I will tell you, if you owed money last year in taxes, chances are it has nothing to do with your accountant. Your accountant is not at fault. Paying your taxes in April is basically a check and balance system. It either tells you, did you have enough withheld from your earnings, or did you have too much withheld from your earnings? It's really that simple. You can make those changes. It's part of the advice that we provide to our clients as part of the overall financial planning relationship with them. We're talking here about getting your financial house in order. It's something that every person needs to do. I don't care whether you make $11 an hour or $11,000 an hour. Everybody has to do it. You got to make sure you know where everything is and what everything is worth. And that's the kind of advice we provide here on Dollars and Cents each and every Sunday. We call it financial advice in a language you can understand. We got more of that. I want to fill out the other four other pieces of this getting your financial house in order graphic. We've got four other items on there. I'm going to tell you about them when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. When we last left you, we were talking about how to get your financial house in order. We talked about the important steps in that, and I talked about this little packet that I've put together that I'm happy to email off to you, which gives you a sense as to how my firm, Friedman Financial and Peabody, does that and how we've been doing it for so many years. Really easy to follow. I think it'll give you some clarity around what happens when you meet with a financial advisor. We really built this for you so you can get some understanding and not have the heebie-jeebies when you go walking into an office and wondering, oh, what are they going to sell me now? I'm not sure I want to do this. I want you to feel really, really good about coming into the office. If you'd like this packet, you can do one of two things. You can call the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Just leave a message for Jody, and she will get back to you and make sure that this package is emailed off to you. Or you can request it as well through our website. Go to friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address. It will sign you up for the newsletter. It's a free newsletter that comes out every Friday, but you can also put in your comments of what you'd like to receive. So, you know, we're talking about getting your financial house in order. And here's the eight things that you need to do to say, you know what, I'm feeling good. So ask yourself, number one, do you have clear, measurable plans for both short and long-term goals? What do those look like? Can you imagine them? Can you crystallize them? Number two, do you have a net worth statement that you could pull up right now that shows where everything is worth and what everything is that you owe? A snapshot. At our office, we maintain that snapshot for every single one of our households, so you always know where you stand financially. Number three, do you know how much money comes into your household and how much goes out? A lot of people seem to know what their salary is or what their gross pay is. But after you put in money for your 401k, after you take out taxes, after you pay UNICEF or whatever it is that you choose to have as deductions coming out of your pay, what really gets put into your bank account? And is there enough money going into your bank account to cover the expenses that you have over the course of the month? If there isn't, how are you making up the shortfall? And if there is extra, what are you doing with the extra? Do you have an emergency fund? Are you saving the money? Are you maxing out your 401k? All of that gets revealed in a cash flow analysis. Fourth part, taxes. Understanding which taxes are the right ones to have withheld. You know, just because when you fill out one of those W-9 forms and it asks you, what kind of withholdings do you want to have done? Is it married or single? And what exemptions should I have? Many people seem to think that if you're married with two kids, you have to fill out the form married to. That is so far from the truth. You could fill it out single 9 if you wanted to. No one cares. But you just have to see what when you do married to, basically your payroll company is going to a book that says if you are making $1,000 a week under married to, here's what the amount of money should be as the deduction. Now that might work if your only source of income, if your only source of income is your salary. You have no interest, no dividends, no capital gains, no rental income, no social security income, and you don't have any deductions either. It's just a straightforward withholding. I mean, straightforward income. That's not likely for many people. You need to really take a look at what that tax sheet looks like to say, what should the right amount of tax be? We will help you with that. Here's item number four, investments. Investments. Do you have the proper investment strategy? Just because you own investments doesn't mean that you've purchased them the proper way. Do you know what you paid to buy your investments? Do you know what the investment advisor earned to pay for these, to buy these investments for you? And if you've ever worked with a financial advisor who you say, oh, don't worry, I don't pay them for advice. The investment company pays them instead. Boy, have you been fooled. Nobody works for free around here. You've got to understand what those costs are. Anytime, for instance, let's say, for instance, you've bought an investment and the investment advisor said to you, don't worry, the investment company pays me. You don't have to worry about it. But if you want to get out within the first 7 years, there's going to be a fee to you. That means that the investment advisor got paid with your money. Because what happens is all of that fee that would come out in the first 7 years, if you were to pull it back, is repaying the investment company for paying the investment person that sold it to you. When's the last time you held an investment for 7 years? Well, what's kind of interesting is people that work with financial advisors generally hold investments for a longer period of time than people that own them individually, because we just feel this sense of, I got to do something. Got to do something. Your investment portfolio is an important component of your overall financial well-being, making sure that the risk is balanced appropriately with what the reward is that you need and the tolerance that you have, making sure that you understand how much money you need to pull out of your portfolio to cover the income that you will need, or allowing it to grow and understanding the volatility, the ups and downs. That's what volatility is, the ups and downs that can go on and on with your portfolio. It happens. But you got to make sure you can measure it properly and it can be tracked appropriately. A good financial planner, when you're getting your financial house in order, will have that for you, not just for the first purchase, but on an ongoing basis. You can always look back to see, how did we do? How did we handle things when the market dropped in 2008? Or when the market shot up at the beginning of this year and dropped again in February? How did we do? Did we hit those same spike points, or were we a little bit more cautious? Were we not as volatile? Were we just a little smoother on the way? Item number 6, insurance. Anybody that doesn't talk to you about insurance is doing you a disservice. When I traveled in Holland, in fact, I'm going to Holland next week, but I used to do a lot of work in Holland. People that were in the financial services industry got into it a lot different than the way people in the financial services industry get into it here. Most people here go to work for what's called a wirehouse, a big brokerage firm, a Merrill Lynch, a Smith Barney, whatever it is that they go to, Morgan Stanley, and they learn about stocks and they get licensed. What happens in Holland is, in order for you to get into the financial services business, the first thing you need to do is you need to learn about mortgages. You need to learn how to sell mortgages, and then how to sell insurance to protect the mortgage. Then learn about life insurance and disability, because in Holland, and in many cases, it's more important to first start with the wealth that you've built in buying products that protect your family. How many times have you heard about people who have died early in their life, 30 and 40, with a young family, and they never bothered to buy life insurance? They never bothered to protect the family. They worked hard trying to find the next Tesla or the next Apple or the next Amazon, and maybe they threw a little bit of money in their 401k plan, but they forgot to protect the family. You need to make sure that a successful financial plan in your life includes proper life insurance coverage, proper disability coverage, proper automobile and homeowners coverage. Now, there are the right kinds and the wrong kinds and the right time to own certain types, but you have to be sure that you're asking those proper questions. A good certified financial planner will always ask those questions. They may not even sell you the product. They may tell you you need to go to your agent and talk to them about your automobile, or talk to them about your homeowners, or even talk to them about an umbrella policy. But those are very important parts. The seventh part of this 8-piece grid that I'm talking about is about retirement. How will you know when the right time is to take Social Security or grab a pension? When's the right time to take it? Should you do it at 62? Should you do it at full retirement age? Should you do it at 70? Are there spousal benefits to consider? Which pension option should you take? What if the company offers you, when it's time to leave your company, a lump sum or a pension option? What if you have after-tax dollars versus before-tax dollars? Lots and lots of questions. Getting your financial house in order means that you're aware, or somebody is aware, of how to guide you in making those very, very important decisions. And last but not least is the estate planning component. How prepared are you and your family in the event something happens to you? Now, I'm not even just talking about death. The likelihood of you dying suddenly is pretty small, can happen. But what's the likelihood of you getting into an accident or being somewhere where you're incapacitated and unable to perform mentally or physically to sign documents? Maybe you're out of the country, whatever it might be. Do you have a document in place that allows someone to step up on your behalf? That's called a power of attorney. Many people neglect to have that. Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your oldest child, maybe it's your parents, whomever it is that you choose. I strongly encourage you to make sure that all of the parts of your estate plan are in place. A power of attorney, a healthcare proxy, a will. Perhaps you need a trust. I'm not suggesting everyone needs a trust. Some people do. Some people don't. But make sure that you're answering the important questions. Stop putting it off. More and more people are dying what's called intestate these days, without a will. And just as you might think that your favorite sister will step up and take care of everything, the judge may not see it that way. And when you die intestate without a will, there's a lot of creeps that will come out of the corners that say, hey, you know, they never paid me for that painting project I did on the house. They owe me 40 grand for doing that. Whatever the number might be, it can slow up the process. But you can clean it all up. You can take care of it. You just need the proper advice. All of those parts of the getting your financial house in order puzzle, those eight pieces are all addressed by a firm like mine, Friedman Financial, before we ever invest a single dollar. Before we ever invest a single dollar. We think it's critical. And yeah, we charge a fee to do that. Our minimum fee is $2,500 to address all of those issues and put it in writing. But then once you have that under your belt, once you know where all of that is, how easy is it to start making decisions? But what should we do with our investments? What kind of changes should I make to my 401k plan? Do I have the right automobile or homeowners insurance? How much can we really afford to keep giving the kids? What kind of withholding should I have on my pay stubs? That and so much more. When we do manage money for you, we choose not to work in a commissionable environment. Generally, we place assets under management. We charge a fee to manage those assets. And all future financial planning advice is included as part of the fee that you pay us for the assets under management. The $2,500 fee is a one-time fee that you pay. It's written in such a way that you get a report in writing. It comes with an action plan that you can implement anywhere you want. Anywhere you want. Now, I'll tell you, 98% of the people who have us do a financial plan say, oh my God, no one has ever looked at my financial situation like this. This is great. How can I keep working with you? Well, you don't have to worry about paying $2,500 anymore. All you do is place your assets under our management and all future financial planning advice is included. Many people will ask me, Mark, what is the minimum? What is the minimum amount of money to place under your management? Well, generally, we prefer to work with people who have at least a minimum amount of investment assets of $350,000. That's our minimum. There are other financial advisors that will have no minimum or $50,000. Some will have $5 million as a minimum. You got to find one that works right for you. Someone that is willing to have that conversation, that dialogue, listen intently and get stuff done so that you can enjoy doing what you want to do. That's what financial planning is all about, folks. I have this all written out in a little nice presentation. If you'd like to get a copy of everything that I just talked about and more, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on my website. Sign up for our free weekly newsletter that comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. Put in your name, your email address, and any other questions, any information. Just say, hey, Mark, I'd like to get the new packet you talked about, the new information packet about your firm. I'm happy to send it out to you. It'll come to you electronically. You'll love it. And then give us a call. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. We'd love to have you come in for a free initial consultation. But take a look at who we are first. Make sure that it's a good fit for you. Make sure that we match up well. And I would love to see you. I hope you have a great rest of this weekend. I've got to get out of here. Make room for our new show, Wicked Bites, coming up next. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.